Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima Magen, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, special episode today. This is, drumroll, the official announcement for the spring session of the Japan Real Estate Summit 2025, which will take place in less than 2 months' time in Tokyo and online, of course, if you can't make it and you do want to get the streaming ticket. We've just locked in the venue, super exciting one this time around. You'll hear about it in a moment. Which also means that there are only a few days left before the ticketing page will be up and those discounted early bird tickets will be gone. So if you know you'll be attending, whether it's in person or online, you really want to get over to our website, nippontradings.com. That's N-I-P-P-O-N tradings with an S, all one word, nippontradings.com. There's a pre-registration link to secure those discounted tickets at the very top of the homepage. And again, these will soon be taken down as soon as the normal full price ticketing page goes up. So go get them. Anyway, Tracy, Emil, and I got together earlier today to record this session, which is essentially us geeking out about this and past events. You'll also have the chance to give us some feedback as to what you'd like to hear us talking about, as well as to listen to us chat a bit about what and why we do what we do, how long we've been at it, what makes us get out of bed every morning, and more. We also reveal some of our awesome new guest speakers, and equally as important, this is a chance to also introduce our amazing sponsors, who are the ones who make it all happen and help keep your ticket prices as low as they are. Realestate.jp, your go-to for Tokyo family homes and mortgages. Innovatious.com, our web design and online presence partners here in Japan. Kaku Accounting Firm, who provide comprehensive, fully bilingual accounting services for expats. And Shiki Properties, who specialize in Kyoto and Osaka's real estate markets. Huge thanks to all of you. We appreciate your support and we're grateful to have you with us. And if you'd like to sponsor the event as well, by the way, don't be shy to reach out. Our support package is super affordable, comes with fantastic exposure, plenty of perks. Let us know. And if we can slot you in to sponsor this event, fear not, there's another one coming in October. Plenty of chances to get in there. So without further ado, let's get right into this episode. Hope you enjoy a little chat and I'll see you again on the other side.
All right, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel back in on a special session today, as you can tell from the background, and there's an event coming up. Yay!
Yay!
We've mentioned it in the lead into the couple of the last episodes, but this is like the official announcement. So 12, 13 April, Saturday, Sunday. I think we've finalized the venue just today, right? It's going to be the Forum?
We have. It's going to be the Forum, Tokyo International Forum at Tokyo Station. So very fancy and lots of space. So right in the middle of town. So that'll be good for people who are coming in. If you're coming in by Shinkansen or if you're coming in from airports, going right into Tokyo Station area is pretty useful. And also for when we go drinking afterwards, there's lots of places to choose from, which is most important. Let's be fair.
Of course.
It is April 12th and 13th, Saturday.
Correct. It is April 12th and 13th. Yes.
And we're gonna have all of the usual suspects. So members of the JREP forum, of course, Tracy, Emil, myself, Blanca, also regulars, Matt Anton, who will be talking about their Atias and DIYs and renovations. We will not have, unfortunately, the Atia Mark boys this time around. They cannot make it. They're stuck in the US. We will hopefully have Alicia with us. Where is she? Alicia? Not in the picture. Somewhere in the back there. Alicia Wang, who will be talking about investment loans and mortgages for larger properties. And we have some new speakers to be announced. Actually, we have announced a few of them already. We've got Chai Kanda from Shiki Properties, who's going to talk to us about the Osaka and Kyoto market, where they've been very active in the last few years. They're also going to be sponsors of the event, along with the Japan Real Estate, with realestate.jp. Sorry, I didn't say realestate.jp, which is Emil's company, who are, of course, your place to, your go-to for anything related to Tokyo family homes. We also have a we also have a new speaker who is going to be, by popular request, Gyosei Shoshi, who is also an immigration lawyer. So he's going to be our expert for setting up companies, joint ventures, any kind of structure that you need for some of the bigger deals that that we've been setting on behalf of people. And we'll also be talking about what it takes to actually leverage your property investments into a Japanese visa, business management visa, or startup visa, as the case may be. And I think we have one more surprise speaker, which we're not going to announce until we find out if he's actually available or not. But he's somebody that you all know and love if you've been on social media at all. And we also have Matthew Kyle from WeConnect, who are the masters of all things back office related to Japan business. He's going to be talking about staffing and hiring and firing and everything related to, again, as you scale your business and you get more and more investments into your portfolio, you're obviously going to need some help managing it all. He's going to be talking to us about that. So, yeah, exciting times. And maybe a couple
he's
more.
One of the tallest men. He's one of the tallest men on the planet.
Oh, my God, yes.
So it's good that we're actually going to be in the forum, because there'll be enough head space for him. So he must really struggle here in Japan, because he really is one of the tallest human beings I know.
We should ask him to present on that, actually.
I actually met Kyle in one of the events in a conference in the US a few years ago, and we were talking, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm from Tokyo as well." And that's like, "What? Hold on, what the hell? You do this as well in Tokyo?" So yeah, we although I met him, yeah, it was in the US at a conference. I was completely
Gary B. It was at one of your Gary B. ones.
Yeah, it was. It was, yeah, one of the those web.
Oh, so he's a V head too, is he? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a tax accountant as well?
Not speaking. We have a tax accountant sponsoring, and they will be, of course, available for people to email them with any questions. They're very happy to do that. They're going to be one of our new sponsors for the event, Kaku Accounting Offices, based here in Fukuoka, but they work nationwide. But no accountant directly. I mean, Matthew definitely knows about accounting. They do accounting and bookkeeping as well. So in his breakout room, there definitely might be some Q&A related to that, yeah, or at the end of this presentation, yes.
Sure, okay. And I'll be there talking about, well, loans and properties. That's my, and depending on schedule, it may be two sessions like last time, one on each, or it could be just one combined. It really depends on the timing and flow of the day. We haven't worked that out yet, but Tracy, you're doing short-term stays as...
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. I can talk about lots of different things, and what maybe I could crowdsource this, like what would people want?
I was going to do the exact same thing. Exactly.
What
right.
do people want to hear about? So, I mean, in the past, and you can go back and see the past videos of what I've done. I've just talked about Minpaku in general. I've talked about the licensing, how to convert from a Minpaku license to a Ryokan license, and all the stuff that's involved in that. I've also done a bit of back of house things, so like the software that people can use to streamline their Minpaku businesses. So really, I've got a few things that I can talk about, and I'd rather just keep it really narrow and focused. But what people want to know about, are people more interested in like how to actually do the pricing and check on the competition? And so
ooh,
really
that'd be very interesting, actually.
Well, yeah, to do the, like, before you buy. So it's like, either do you want to know how to decide what's a good property to purchase and help you with the due diligence for that? Or do you, if you've already got a property, how can you maximize your profits and how can you like minimize your costs and maximize your revenue? So I can do either. And I think it's sort of in line with maybe the due diligence. I've got a little package that, I mean, I don't want to like sell here, but I've got a little package that people have been using.
Oh, we've been selling it on every podcast episode.
It's oh, in the show thank notes, you.
It's one of the best things you can get if you're going to get into or even thinking about whether you want to get into
sure. I mean, you can pay me the big bucks and help you to do it, or you can just down like, you know, invest $100, like $97, and actually get the packet. And what I can do is go through the packet and the best way to use it. And maybe if people come, I might give a little discount if you do actually want it for yourself. So that might be an incentive. Because it's pretty important. I try to break down the myths, and a lot of the people I speak to, I actually talk out of going into Minpaku because it's not for everybody. It's not just a matter of like in buying a property and putting it up on Airbnb and then like sit back and cash the checks. And it's a full business. The money's great, don't get me wrong, but you've got to make sure that you've got the bandwidth and the interest. A lot of people have no interest in like looking after people where they sleep. And if you don't care for that type of thing, then don't do it. Like there's
probably
other ways.
Do very well too, if your heart's
not. Exactly. And there's other ways for you to make a yield on your money. So, you know, I guess I've always said that I'm the interloper in this real estate group because I'm all about the hospitality. And real estate is my place of business, not the actual business itself. So, yeah. So maybe I've decided I'll do that. I'll go through the
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, the due diligence. And I'm of course I'll be around all weekend if you want to sort of pull me aside and I can look at like maybe do some hot seats on, you know, your particular property and like, you know, how much could you be making and how could you be making more money? And I love that stuff. I love helping people make money because money should be in the hands of good people like us because we have more impact than with the oligarchs.
I think I'll be...
Now, if you've attended any of our recent JREP Summit events in Tokyo or online, you've probably heard our sponsor, Robert Miller from Innovatius.com. He's been in WebDiz Solutions here in Japan for the past 25 years, and he's also an active investor in Japanese real estate property, as well as global online property, which is his specialty and what his company, Innovatius, is all about. They offer a full suite of website services for entrepreneurs and small business owners, including all aspects of web design and management, backup and updates, content formatting and editing, proactive maintenance and error fixing, you name it, with a strong focus on SEO excellence, which is what gets you those hardcore top-of-the-list search engine rankings. But there is a difference. Innovatius works off a simple, all-inclusive monthly subscription model, as opposed to the typical outdated and confusing project model. So you never have to wonder how much any request for any work to be done on your website might cost. It's always $497 per month. And if that's not enough, if you've mentioned you've heard of their services on the Japan Real Estate Podcast, you'll also get 10% off this monthly price for life. Also, and equally important, if not more, you can try out Innovatius for just 1 month, then switch them off, on again later if you want, and so forth. There are no minimum subscription terms. Now, if you're a small business owner, managing and growing a website is super distracting and time-consuming, right? That's exactly where Innovatius comes in. Robert's team takes care of all of that for you so that you can focus on what you do best. So feel free to email Rob on robert@innovatius.com. And his team will conduct a full SEO and website audit on your site, reveal anything that you should address to increase your website's appeal, and provide you with an easy-to-read detailed report with your own branding so that you can make some informed decisions on your online strategy and watch your business grow as you implement it. So once more, robert@innovatius.com. Drop him a line and get your website reviewed today.
I think I'll be... I'm still considering it, but I'm... gearing to, unless again, yeah, I'll crowdsource it, same as Tracy did. If anyone got any ideas of what they want me to talk about, please lay them on me. But otherwise, at the moment, I'm leaning towards different types of agents that you might run into in Japan and how to deal with each of them, because you have to deal with the realtor, Japanese realtors, if you want to buy property. Unfortunately, that can be avoided, and Emil doesn't exist in every city in Japan. So,
You're such a good speaker, Ziv. I really, really enjoy your sessions. They're really researched and they're fun and entertaining and just, you know, because you have such good storytelling, and I think that really helps people, helps the information land. So
you're very kind. Yeah. It took me a while. I still get the jitters a bit when I get up there.
Oh, stop being humble. Just take the compliment.
No, I'm serious. Every single time. I'm always staying in your Airbnb, or most of the time staying in your Airbnbs. And the night before, I'm like reviewing, what am I going to say on this slide? What am I going to say on this slide?
I do good properties, man. I'm good at what I do, and the people that I help, that I know how to help, like, you know, I'm good at that. I'm good at that. So yeah,
I must admit,
I'll take a compliment too.
Tracy, I don't think I've had a chance to listen to anyone's session at the seminars that we've held. Is this number four? I think we're coming up now. Is it four? I don't think I've had a chance to listen to anyone's, because the moment I'm finished, it's like I'm talking to so many people about their individual situation the whole day. And that goes for both, like the previous one was our first 2 day one that we've done. And so I've done two sessions and two breakout rooms, and then just chatting all the way in between. So I did not get a moment with anyone. I think maybe for the last time, Daigo Sensei, the tax accountant, I was there for like maybe 15 or 20 minutes of his, and then I had to go off again.
His was really good.
I would like to share something, just a bit of a tangent. Our Akia homies are not here today, but in Australian, one of the Australian news websites, news.com.au, there's an article, Australians snapping up cheap houses in Japan to escape.
I like the commas. A good thing they put that in there.
Cheap, because so it's funny, because, you know, we all know people that are getting into Akias and, you know, and whatnot. And there's, you know, we're going to have speakers there as well that are doing that. One thing interesting, though, I do want to share is, so this talks about, it's a whole bunch of Aussies that bought Akia in Japan. And then you come down here and you have, so Aaron and Lee.
They're so nice.
Nicole, they're talking about their story. And because they bought, so these are friends of mine. I know them for many years now. They bought a house in central Tokyo, which I helped them with when they bought it. And recently they bought an Akiya in Nagano by the snow. Now, I'm not a fan of Akiya, and I think lots of people know that. I focus on Tokyo family homes, you know, about 100 million yen, $1 million plus kind of stuff.
You're a creature of comfort. Yes, we know that.
I am. And so I think my chair that I'm sitting on now is more than some of the Akias that go on for sale. That's probably true. So it talks about, though, here, Leah's purchase of their Akia that they bought. And that's what the story is about. And then it says, Leah purchased the property through her friend, Emil Gorgis, who's also originally from Melbourne. And he's the founder of realestate.jp. So I was also interviewed for this. And I think it's fantastic and it's great. It's got my two cents about, you know, the housing crunch in Australia, property valuation and prices, and the cost of living in Japan comparatively. But just the flow of this really sounds like I helped them purchase their Akia. So I've been getting emails now. From the day this came out saying, hey, I want to get a place in the snow.
Have you been sending them all to Matt?
Sorry?
Have you been sending them all to Matt?
Yeah, there's been about half a dozen so far in like the 36 hours this thing has been up.
That's really funny. Yeah.
So that's, yeah, but anyway, I just thought I'd share that. But this has been also good. I mean, a lot of this promotion, we've been pushing a lot on social media as well. So I've had, you know, I've been doing these seminars, actually, although we have the big seminar coming up, the big summit coming up, and it'll be our fourth summit. Ziv, I originally met you through Jason Ball created an event, a real estate event in Tokyo. He has his networking events, and he got me and someone else to talk about.
We were the theme for that time,
yeah. And that's, I think, where we first met to talk about real estate. But prior to that, I had been doing the Foreigner's Guide to Buying a Home in Japan seminar since, I think, 2014 is when I first started them. So I've done, I think, over 50 sessions, which is why I'm pretty comfortable going up and talking my thing, because I've done, you know, done it so many times.
That's how I met you the first time I came to one of them.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, in those early days, you did come to the office.
Yep.
Well, we're doing Airbnb, and like, I've got Airbnbs as well. But one thing that's come from a lot of the social media push and these news articles is, you know, I'm getting now some businesses, like multinational companies, a large, you know, international IT technology company. I did a webinar for about 60 of their staff.
Wow. On
how to buy properties in Japan. And it was like a shortened down 45-minute version of what I usually do in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And also there's a large international recruiting firm, which I'm going to be doing going to their office in Tokyo and doing a hybrid session for the Tokyo and Osaka office in a few weeks' time, and also doing a webinar for their local staff. So a big thing now for me I'm trying to look into is, yeah, if there's an HR manager or a business owner or someone works in corporate and they want someone to come and speak at their office, if they have a decent number of foreign clients, if they have foreign employees and they want someone to talk to them about buying real estate in Tokyo and how to get a home loan and all that sort of stuff, I'm happy to come to your office and talk, you know, introduce my service as well. That's part of the benefit for me. But yeah, explain the whole process and they get some Q&A time as well. So yeah, please do reach out to me.
Because you really do know your stuff, and you're so generous with what your knowledge is. And, you know, I've always said that you're the walking calculator on loans. Like, you know, you can tell anyone, like, just off the top of your head, what they're going to be able to borrow and what areas. And it's just, you know, and like I said, you're so generous and with your time and expertise, and that's why people come and work with you, not because you're a, you know, like a big salesperson. It's just because you're so genuine. Not
my good looks. Okay. Well,
no. That's it. Absolutely. Yes. But I was being earnest, Emil. I was being, you know.
I do like
to be good.
Definitely, Emil. All of us. I mean, I feel comfortable, especially when we're together in the same room. But even if I'm just referring somebody via message, like, I know that I can just throw them Tracy's way or Emil's way, or and that's it. And they'll get all the answers that they want to get, that they need to get. And if not, you'll say, I don't know, and you'll get back to them with an answer later. It's just
exactly. Sorry,
it's a pleasure working with people who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I just, like, you've, Ziv, in the past, you've sent over two people my way in the past 4 or 6 weeks. I think this year, like in January and February, you've sent over two people my way, and both of them are closing this month.
Yep.
Hope you're paying a commission.
No, I would never.
they are good. Like, the total for those is, like, you know, about almost 200 million yen.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own. But longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today. See how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now back to the podcast.
For those deals. So, and
that's
I think,
you know, people say, somebody even commented in one of the YouTube videos, like, you should clarify that you're getting a commission from these people that you keep spooking in your video. Like, yeah, but I would be getting a commission from anyone I refer them to. The reason I refer them to this one and not that one is because you're actually going to get the service that you need from that person.
That's what I say as well. It's like, you know, I'm only going to introduce you to people that I know are actually going to solve your problem. So,
yeah. Selfishly, too, because they don't want it coming back to bite me on the bum, too.
But I mean, but that's how business works. It's like, you know, like.
In the real estate business, there's always like a sort of, referral fees are just part of the business.
Standard,
like
right?
Like commissions and referral fees are standard. But one thing that's important to note is they are not add-ons.
No.
The referral fee is not added on.
Oh, no, it's not the customer paying that. No.
Yeah. The customer's not paying that. That's you giving it out of your commission, which you're legally entitled to get. Like, correct. By law, that's what you get. So, you share that love. Yeah.
Exactly. So a referral fee in this is real estate, not just in Japan, but even in Australia and the US, the referral fee is not added on top of the cost. So it's rather like if you're paying a 3% fee, if there was no referral, then I keep that 3%. If there is a referral, then from that 3%, I'll have to pay a referral to whoever it is. But the actual customer doesn't have an add-on. I do understand if you're adding on extra fees on top, then it's disadvantageous to the client, right? And it's like they do better off financially by skipping you or skipping the middleman, right? But I think in this case, but that's not the case in this business. So it's rather just, you know, when you have trusted connections and you know, okay, these are the ones I can refer with confidence, it's not because of the referral fee, it's just I refer to them because I'm confident that they're going to do a good job with you. In the same way, Ziv handed me some clients, and I think both of them are very satisfied and very happy with what I was able to do. And that's why you can refer them comfortably.
Because it reflects on Ziv, right? Because if you turn out to be rubbish, then that customer is going to, you know, think poorly of Ziv, and Ziv's the one that's going to be responsible. So,
which is exactly why I don't even enter a referral agreement with anyone until we've done at least one or two deals, and I know that there's not going to be any surprises next time I refer them to someone.
Oh yeah,
referring to someone, collecting the commission, collecting the referral fee, and then finding out they stuffed up the client. Yeah. I really don't want to be there.
No. Well, how it works in my industry is that I refer, so when people come and stay, I refer other vendors that I've already tested that I know are going to like give, because people are going to come, you know, I'm just talking about the inbound tourists, they come and they've got a certain amount of money to spend and they're going to spend it anyway.
Eat somewhere. Yeah, exactly.
And they've got to eat somewhere. And they've, but you know, me giving my referral to another vendor, first of all, they get a little discount. Actually, when I give referrals, the vendor agrees to discount give a discount to the person that I'm sending, so they get a better deal. And also, I know that these companies are not going to, you know, gin you around. If you've only got a couple of days in Tokyo, you don't want to be left high and dry. So I just take out that guesswork and make sure that I know that this is going to give you value for your money that you were going to spend anyway. And I also have a relationship with Kyoto. So I get questions all the time. You know, do you have any properties in Kyoto? Do you have any properties in Osaka? It's like, no, but talk to this person. And I've got a big blog post on my Tokyo Family Stays website, which also has a whole bunch of other small, like short-term rentals are all around Japan. And these are people that I know personally who, you know, they're good. I don't get any sort of commission just for giving those introductions.
Having said that, there's always going to be people who don't like us, and there's always going to be somebody who feels that they haven't gotten the right, you know, like recently got yelled at because I should ask for your feedback on that, Tracy, being a woman and a woman activist at that. I usually tell customers who get like really upset about the property not meeting the standards or having lost it to another buyer, and sometimes they get upset. So my like default, I kind of spit it out without even thinking about it. My default sentence is usually, you know, I wouldn't get emotionally attached to any property because a lot of them will fall through for whatever reasons. But I got berated because I told that to somebody who happened to be a woman, and she said that I should not be saying do not get emotional to a woman in the workplace. So apparently I should be changing that sentence to something else.
No, well, the thing is, I always say don't get emotional. Well, if I'm not talking about my Minpaku stuff, but you know, you never get emotional about real estate because they're just bricks and mortar. I've said that time and time again. I'm the biggest feminist in the world. So, you know, when it comes to real estate, you don't get emotionally invested in a particular property because it's like there's always another one. I told my cousin recently who bought a property in Nozawa Onsen, and he overpaid, and he's a real estate agent. He's a real estate agent, and he overpaid. And I said, this is an emotional purchase for you. You are paying a premium because you want to be in this area. And I told him he was being emotional about it. So no, I think you're fine with that. And I think that's a her problem rather than a you problem. Unfortunately, you weren't saying to her that she's emotional. It was just like real estate's not emotional. So I think you're fine.
Yeah.
You know what?
But thank you for asking on that. I really appreciate it that you actually have the manners to double check with someone who's
I mean, did get like when I tried to explain that this has nothing to do with gender, then I got I felt a little bit abused, and I ended up just refunding them and saying that we're probably not a good fit. But I'm just wondering if I should stop saying that altogether, because I say that to men and women constantly when they get upset about something.
That I think, you know, you that sounds like a her problem rather than a you problem, and you don't need that. You don't need that headache, really. That's her trauma to deal with, I think. So, and I'm the biggest like woke feminist.
I know, that's why I'm asking you,
right? And so, I think you're fine. I think you're good. Look, doesn't mean that people are bad people, right? It's just that they're not a good fit. Like their needs are not a good fit with what you're offering. And I think that's a very clear transaction. You're good. I think you're good.
Tracy. Now, here's some big news for anyone interested in Akiya, the abandoned vacant homes that are abundant all around Japan for very attractive purchase prices. Akiya Mart, our latest sponsor, is a recently founded online search and discovery tool for Japanese real estate. Its user interface will be very familiar to users of Zillow or Redfin. The platform essentially scouts the internet for property listings, translates them into English, and displays prices in US dollars, all in one place and with a dynamic map interface that makes browsing, finding, and shortlisting your favorite properties a piece of cake. Which any of you have been struggling with the dozens, if not hundreds, of Japanese property websites that are available online and their very clunky interface will probably find a real blessing. They've got already over 500,000 listings on the platform, and the database is expanding daily, ranging from abandoned rural homes to luxury urban properties. AkiyaMart makes it easy to find your dream home in Japan, regardless of your budget. Now, while the platform is essentially free for use, here's an exclusive offer for listeners of the podcast. You can use the promo code NTI to receive $5 off AkiyaMart Pro. The subscription will unlock a bunch of very attractive features for you, including unrestricted access to the entire nationwide property database and a whole range of filters, which will help power charge your search for that elusive perfect home and make it even easier. So hop over to akiya-mart.com. That's AKIYA-MART, akiya-mart.com, and kick off your search today.
I think you're good. Hello.
I would like to slightly disagree on your comment about real estate is not emotional. It is just bricks and mortar. I can agree with that to the extent of like investment properties. I think investment properties, for the most part, you look at it as maybe a numbers game and you compare different properties. Even when we do investment properties, like we create a list of the
Investors never get emotional, I find. It's only the people who are shopping for holiday homes.
A bit less, yeah, definitely. There might be some emotional decision at the end when you have two or three close candidates, and it'll just be an emotional one, not the numbers one.
Okay, yeah.
But when it's personal homes, so the majority of my work is personal homes, the number, like one of the top things is when you, the feeling when you walk in there.
Absolutely. No, I will absolutely agree with you. And you know, when you've looked at a number of properties and then you walk into one and you listen to your nervous system and go, yeah, this is the one that I want. So yeah, no, I'm on board with you.
Like we looked like the other day, I was looking, we did seven properties with a client from like 100 to 200 million yen. And, you know, they looked at so many. And at the end of it was one which they liked the most. Like this is their budget. They had a very broad budget. And there was one that was 120 million yen and one that was like 190, 180 mil. And at the end, it was the one that they just loved the most. And in this case, it was the more expensive one. But by the same token, I had another one who was looking at, you know, places at 140, 150 million. And in the end, he found one like down like 20 minute bus ride from like Yokohama Station. It was like 15 or 20 minute bus ride. And it was like 75 million. But it was a brand new built house. It was spectacular. The construction cost was about double the value of a standard house. The entire flooring is herringbone. It's a natural herringbone. It's all natural wood. They spent so much on that property on the construction and brand new. And
like, a chevron.
That's not an emotional decision. That's comparing pros and cons, saying, okay, I'm going to have to commute more, but I really love the look of this house, right? Or it's newer than the other ones. I'm talking more about, like in my case, with the holiday home.
If you lost the sale, then it's a...
No. Like, I mean, like, people get attached to a property because the view is amazing. All of the reasons that you just mentioned, they walk in, they love the features, they love the architecture, the view is amazing. I feel, and maybe I'm wrong, because I do come originally from investment properties, but I feel like it's my job to let them know that, cool down for a minute, because have you thought about how much it's going to cost you when this happens, right? And that's when they can get a little bit blindsided by all of the wonderful things that they originally thought before they got, for example, a structural inspection report, or before they found out that it's non-rebuildable, or, you know? So I feel like it's my job to do that, but I don't know. Maybe I should be doing less of that. I don't know.
Give them the data. Give them all the data points.
Data, and then,
They can make an educated decision based on the facts. They have all that laid out. And then the emotional layer and decision-making factors can be added on top. Mm-hmm. But what happens if there's no data, you withhold the data, you're not, they miss out. They're not doing a thorough due diligence, and it's emotional. And then maybe some of the data that's negative can be like, if that was a deal breaker, then they're stuck with it. Let them know let them know all the deal breaker info first. It's like he's still there in the photo. Know all the deal breaker information early on, the issues. And then if they're still good with that and they still love it, then okay, that's it. But I a lot of my work is done on emotion stuff. There's stuff that check the box so well on the tech specs and the sheet, and then they go there and it just doesn't feel warm enough, doesn't feel right.
I guess what I said, what you know, what I meant by that.
Sorry, just my next appointment is here a little bit early.
So oh, right. Well, let me finish my point. Is that I think that like you do have to check off a whole lot of boxes, but those should not, like, you shouldn't let your emotions overweigh your logic when you've got some complete deal breakers. My cousin went and bought that house. He knew it was an emotional purchase. He went and bought it anyway, and he's deliriously happy. So there's that. Anyway,
I will have to jump out, guys, but you can continue if you want. I just want to remind people again, 12, 13 April. Now we know that it's going to be at the Forum next to Tokyo Station, and we will see you all there.
I'll get the ticketing up in the next few days.
The J-Rep.
Thank you.
Real estate.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
See ya. Bye-bye. Bye.
So there you have it. As you can tell, we're pretty stoked, as always, about what is promising to be one of the best Japan real estate summits yet. And as mentioned, more exciting news coming your way soon, we hope. But first and foremost, if you know you'll be attending, again, those early bird discounted tickets will be taken down as soon as the ticketing page is up in the next few days. So get over to nippontradings.com and pre-register for that discount ticket today. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com. And he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time. And until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.